Esther chapter number 4, verse 13 and 14, then we go to 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. As we continue the series we started last week, Love, Life, Impact. Love, Life, Impact. Good, 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 gracious God. Glory to God. Uncle Tony, I need you in that committee. Both the building and the, I need your expertise there. So I don't want you to run at the end of the service. See, Pastor Obina. I need everyone who can help. Please, please. Someone help us got to discount at Teco Hotel. And if anything can save us something. Please, let the Lord use you. Don't use yourself. Amen. Esther chapter 4, verse 13 to 14. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. That don't think that this thing will not meet you because you're in the palace. Next verse. If thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. God cannot be stranded. So if you refuse to contribute, refuse to do, God will bypass you. Use your very, very neighbor. That's what he's saying. It will come from somewhere else because it's the agenda of God, from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom? Tell them you're in church for such a time as this. There's a red button. If you hold it for long, if you can remove the battery, they always work. Thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. Let's read that in concert. If you have New King James, so that just saves us. New King James, he makes it, Who's there? Who's going to Rome? 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. You went to Rome? He's roaming around. Don't roam around. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. I taught you last week that the word conversation is not conversing with somebody. Conversation means conduct or lifestyle. New King James Version, if you have it. Let no man despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, and in word purity. Last week, we spoke about making impact. This morning, I want to talk to you along those lines of making impact. Tell your neighbor the palace is not for selfie. The palace is for impact. I don't like the way you said it because you and your neighbor like selfies. So say it again. Say, neighbor, the palace is not for selfie. The palace is not for pictures. The palace is for impact. The reason I'm saying this is because some of you are already in your palace. Some of you, God is taking you to the palace. And when you get there, I don't want you to forget yourself why you got there. It's not for selfie. It's not for just towel. It's for what? Impact. Hold your neighbor's hand. Say, in the name of Jesus, neighbor, I decree that we are going to make impact. That we're going to make impact. So I refuse that you remain in that same state. I decree that after today, you are going to make significant impact in Jesus' matchless name. Now clap your hands, church, give God praise. Remain standing. Spirit of God, we thank you for the anointing that makes teaching and preaching easy. Open up our eyes to see Jesus. Give me nimbleness of mind, agile thought. Give your people understanding as you give me utterance. Let your name be glorified, your people edified, the devils terrified. As Jesus is revealed, we are unveiled to become everything that we already are in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the anointing that makes teaching and preaching easy. Throw your weight in this service. Have your way. This hour is sanctified to you. In Jesus' matchless name. And everybody said amen. Amen. On your way to you, said, nudge your neighbor, said, the palace is not for selfie. The palace is for impact. Then you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Just give me a minute. Get out in Jesus' name. I got an interesting feedback from last week's Sunday's message. And it was that powerful because the lady said to me, the message last week was very powerful because he answered most of the questions that I get asked about the gospel of God's grace. That it looks like sometimes when we talk about the gospel of God's grace, it looks like we do not tell the believer their responsibility in the gospel of God's grace. And that's not what I teach. That's not what I preach. So you can hear a message and just jump and make your conclusion. But the thing about religion, religion wants to always demand performance from the believer without empowerment. That's religion. So religion, like we're talking about making impact, religion is make impact, make impact, make impact. But what we are teaching is love, life before impact. Because the Bible says, they that know their God shall be strong and make impact. Thank you very much. So you just trying to make impact without knowing your God and being strong, you're joking. Is that you have to know, and it is the knowledge that gives birth to being. They that know their God shall be strong and make impact. But what we just want to teach is make impact. Make impact. Make impact. No, you can't just make impact if you do not have knowledge. It is knowledge that gives birth to impact. Knowledge gives birth to being, and being gives birth to impact. Religion will put a demand on you to perform. The gospel of God's grace gives you enablement to become. So, are you seeing what I'm saying? So what Jesus said to the woman caught in the act of adultery was not go and sin no more. The first thing Jesus said to her is, neither do I condemn you. It was after he said, neither do I condemn you, that he said, go and sin no more. He didn't just say, go and sin no more. He said, neither do I condemn you. So because the pardon must precede the power. Oh, yeah. Woo! The pardon must precede the power. Anybody who's teaching about the power over sin without teaching you the pardon of sin is teaching you religion. It's understanding that you have the pardon first of sin. That's what gives birth to the power over sin. So he first said to her, neither do I condemn you. When he said, go and sin no more, it was not a threat. Go not do them again, no. They cash in, you know, I no go dead. That's not what he was saying. What he was saying is, somebody's asking you, I need to buy a bottle of water, I'm thirsty. What you do, you give them money and say, take, thirst no more. So go and sin no more was not a threat, was an empowerment. Kabaye, are you seeing what I'm saying? So go and sin no more was not a warning, was take, sin no more. He empowered her to sin no more. So the teaching of the gospel is first vertical before it is horizontal. Oh. You can't teach horizontal without vertical. Bring that cross quickly. Bring the cross quickly, quickly, quickly. The cross, I said this every Sunday, you should know that by now, that the cross is both vertical and horizontal. Can I shock you? Vertical can stand alone. Yes, sir. I can dig this to the ground and it stands alone. But horizontal, which is impact, cannot stand alone. So when you are teaching the believer to make impact without teaching them the vertical, you're asking for something that is impossible. Be holy, be this, be that, without teaching them first the vertical issues of the love of God, of all your sins are forgiven, which is the gospel of God's grace. They can't make impact. Making impact is horizontal. Understanding the knowledge of God and how God has loved you is vertical. Now, the thing is, you can't put a heavier stick on this vertical. You're going to destroy it. So it's the third dimension that this is strong, that you can have something on it. This can stand alone, but this can't stand alone. This is religion, dead works. If this stands alone, somebody's holding it there, somebody's holding it here. That's works. But this can stand alone, dog to the ground. So what we are teaching first, love, root, life, expression, before impact. But what religious people want to hear is warn the people. Tell them what to do. Tell them this. Threaten them. Warn them about hell. That's not our message. Our message is the gospel. The gospel is not a threat message. It's a love letter. It's about the reckless, never-ending love of God in Christ for the believer. But what you want is teach this, teach this. I'm saying this cannot stand without this. Because horizontals will always stand on verticals. Are you listening to me? So when you know and you become strong, exploit is just natural. Exploit is not something you begin to debate. It's just natural. So my daughter Suzu, who's about four plus now, would go to the brother who's two, and then he would lift the brother up and say, "Daddy, I can carry Salem." It's not because I taught her to carry Salem. There was no instruction to say, when you grow to a point, thou shalt leave thy brother. She just got to the point where she saw Salem and saw her capacity and said, "You know what? I can lift." That's what growth does. Is that as you begin to grow, you know that this one, I can lift. But you can't teach lifting without teaching empowerment. How do I get Sozo to solve algebra or something? She's just looking like, find X. Daddy, this is the X you're looking for. Because she does not understand it. That's what religion does when you put that pressure on the believer to perform without enabling them to become. That's not what Jesus died for. Jesus died for enabling us to what become, not putting the pressure to perform. That's the message of the gospel. And even when we begin to perform, it is not us performing, it is Christ performing through us. So sometimes I'm on the floor, Sam, and I'm just in my palace. So says, "Daddy, let's go upstairs." And then she comes to meet me on the floor. She tells Salem, "Let's pick Daddy." Of course, he can't. But Sozo goes, "I can pick Daddy." She lifts my hand and she goes, "Me too, I will not be standing." In her mind, she's pulling me. They play. In her mind, I pull Daddy up. No, you didn't pull Daddy up. Daddy allowed the move. In the same way, even with exploit, it is God doing the exploit through you. Because by your strength, you can't achieve anything. Oh, God. Is he entering? Are you seeing what I'm saying? In the same way, you can't achieve this by your strength. Nobody can live the Christian life. Only Christ can live the Christian life. So the best way to live the Christian life is let Christ live his life through your life. That's how to live the Christian life. Because you can't live it. Is let him live his life through your life. This is the message of the gospel. It is first vertical before horizontal. It's first the pardon before the power. It is first hyper and then is responsible. If you want to clap, clap well. Are you listening to me? And I showed you that last week, that anything you're born from, you're sustained by. The reason your body needs yam, beans, and all that stuff is that it came from the ground. That's why you feed from the ground. Your spirit came from God. That's why your spirit needs God. Salvation was born out of love. So salvation is sustained by love. It was not the nails that held him to the cross. It was the never-ending, reckless love of God that kept Jesus at the cross. It was not nails. No, it's that when he stood on the cross, he thought about you and I. He saw what we would become without the cross and decided to stay there on the cross. It was a love that kept him on the cross. Bring the cross again. Let me also show you something. That when you, quickly, that if you bring the cross, quick, bring it. Even with Jesus dying on the cross, the whole of the body is vertical. The whole of the body is vertical. It's just the hands that, you know, are horizontal. So what's important is have your vertical right before you can show walkings. You can't show walkings if you don't have the vertical right. Are you listening to me? And that's what it is. So this thing is sustained by love. And this love is not our love for God. It is his love for us. For the Bible says God demonstrated his love towards us in that whilst we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Scripture also makes it clear to us that it's the love of God that brings men to repentance. It is not the fear of hellfire. It's what the love of God that brings men to repentance. You can't come to Jesus out of fear. If you come to Jesus out of fear, they have grossly misrepresented Jesus to you. You can't build a relationship like that to him. Yes, you can't. I'm not saying you are not born again, but even if you are ever born again, you can't have a relationship with somebody who you got in out of fear. Marry me or you die. Then you now marry the person. You think you're going to have a relationship like that. But it's the love of God, the patience of God, the endurance of God that brings men to repentance. It's not threat message. It's a love letter. And let me show you something. 1 John chapter 2. Is it 1 John 2:15? Put it up for me. 1 John 2:15. Yes. Oh, man, this scripture. Ooh.
I saw shege with this scripture.
Love not the world, neither the things that of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not him. Brother, you like this, with all the gold are you wearing, you don't love the Lord. You'll be afraid, because love not the things of the world. If any man loves the world, the love of... So, the preacher is... And by the way, he's changing now. He's changing. No, seriously, he's changing. He's changing now. He's talking about righteousness by faith. Do you know? He's changing to the point where they are praying for him that he's backsliding. So I'm serious. It's changing to the point where they are praying for him that he's backsliding. Because they know they use all these, they learn how to write with left hand. So that thing that Bishop Mike has done is not, is legendary, to be able to unlearn. Having preached for 40 years plus and say, cancel all those messages. Rubbish. I found the gospel. That thing is a lot of work. But this scripture was used, cooked, fried, grilled, that... But until I read it differently and read it properly, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father, not the love for the Father. The love of the Father. That means the reason you are drawn to the world is that you do not know that the Father loves you. Is the lack of the Father's love that is making you seek love outside of the Father. Oh God, you have daddy issues. That's why you think you can get love outside of the Father. Kabaye, I'm preaching. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That means you do not know that the Father loves you. That the day you start knowing very well that the Father loves you, there are some things you won't get into anymore. They won't have to preach again. Just it's not doing you anymore. It's not doing you anymore. I think Clean the Drunk's testimony is one funny testimony. They call him Clean the Drunk, so you think he has a drinking problem. But he had a smoking problem. He said to me that he was a chain smoker. There's no service we preached against. Don't smoke. He just discovered that the smell is here, that the smell of smoke just began to repel him. That's how he stopped smoking. Why? Guess what happened to him? As he began to hear the gospel, the love of the Father entered into him. We don't obey rules and regulation. The regulator lives inside of us. So it is God who's at work within you, telling you both to will and to do. So it's not you obeying 10 commandments. The commander is inside of you. So now from there in, they commando you. That you can be a great man and you can tack it. You see what I'm saying? Yes. Yes. It's he lives in that. That's how he said, I just started smoking thing. Why? The love of the Father, not the love for the Father. The love of the. Give me this in the next translation. Do not love the world, nor the things it offers you. If when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. Not the love for the Father. It's the lack of the love of the Father inside of you that creates space for you to think you can get really love the world. Next translation. I think TPT says, don't set the affections of your heart on the world or in loving the things of the world. The love of the Father and the love of the world are incomparable. It's not possible. You can't love both at the same time. Once you are consumed, overtaken, compelled, grasped by the love of God. Not your love for him. That's why we don't sing, I love you forever. I love, how do you love him? Have you been able to love your wife and your mother completely forever that you want to jump and love God? Perhaps. What are you, how? Is that you love me. So the boast of the gospel is not our love for God. The boast of the gospel is always his love for me. So I can boast of his love for me. I cannot boast of my love for him. Because his love for me is okay for both of us. It's okay for both of us. The love of the Father is okay for both of us. God does not want you to supply your love to add to his love. His love is okay for both of us. Glory to God. Come on, I say glory to God. Let me say this. This is really powerful. You are not more mature than your love walk. The litmus test of your spiritual maturity is your ability to love. It's not your ability to pray in dangerous tongues.
That's a gift. Oh, you didn't get it. That's a gift. That means you don't have to work for it. You just develop the gift. The litmus test of spiritual growth is your ability to love. Some of you right in the car park there, fight, don't start. Jamio, you know, I'll be a different kind of believer. You know, I'll just drop my wig. I'll go show you with that one. I say, buy the car. Who give her money to buy the car? What's she doing? What can jam me for church? Nonsense. Careful, you can't steal my blessing, Joe. You're going,
what is wrong?
What is wrong with you? No, but you do be that. The litmus test of spiritual maturity is your ability to love, not to heal the sick, neither to raise the dead. Those things are good, but any revelation of the gospel that is not producing love in you, why are we teaching it? Why are we teaching it? Why can't you love? Now that you get problem, you can't even smile. Your face is like, who drink lime? What is the problem? Do face like armpit every morning. What, why? What's the problem? Why can't you love? Tell your neighbor, it's easy for you to love because love lives inside of you. Love is a person, his name is Jesus. Say, love lives inside of you. So you can't, James 3:10 says, you, out of one mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. He says, these things ought not to be so. That's what James said. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing by brethren. That means not unbelievers, brethren. That's not our character. Give me the next translation. It says, and so blessing and cursing comes pouring out from the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Tell your neighbor, that is not right. Say, that is not right. So you can't just, the anger, the venom, the why? Why? And I keep saying, you look like who you worship, and it's the truth. You look like, if you keep hearing the gospel, you are going to be loving. But when you on Friday, what you heard is fire must destroy altar. Then on Sunday, fire must destroy chains. On Monday, you give somebody fire. You will destroy somebody. Because that's what you are exposed to. You look like who you worship. And who we worship is grace, is love. So who do you look like when you start behaving out of character? You gotta love. It's the litmus test of spiritual growth. Revelation is good, but revelation is supposed to bring love. And like I taught you last week, it's not love your neighbor as yourself. That's suicidal. The day he wants to kill himself, you kill both of you. It's love your neighbor the way Christ has loved you. The way Christ has loved you. Remember, my friend? I can't buy anything real. Yeah, in the same way we flew one time. It's a business class. For what? I will sit here like, it's not just 6 hours. I'm there. So at the back of the plane with all the money. Go, daddy. Yes. Then you tell him to buy me, he will give me night boss. Because he can't love me right. Because he doesn't love himself. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's not love your neighbor as yourself. Because I don't know whether you love yourself. The way you treat yourself sometimes, I'm not very sure that you love yourself. So you can't love me. So the Bible says, love your neighbor the way Christ has loved you. Not love your neighbor as yourself. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also what? Love one. The next verse, 35. Yeah. The next verse is verse 35. I believe after 34. I love you in Jesus' name. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you pray in tongues. If you have love one to another, that's how we know. Some of you, you see members in church. You have seen this face 2-3 times in church. You see them outside. It's simple. Hi. Are you? No. You are badly behaved. See, now, church, after church, not there, the same level. And you are going to the same heaven. Shame on you. If not for church, where you go see me? What will we be talking about? If not for church, we're not on the same level. But in heaven, we're in the same heaven. You should be ashamed of yourself. The same blood that washed you, watch that person. What does he cause you to say, hi, I think this face is familiar. Hi, okay, look, oh, wow, you're in my office. How can I help? That's how family behave. You see, begin, that's, let me, so, no, that usher be that, now, that usher be that now. And they show me, not give me see that time. May come here. Hi, what, hello? I don't think I know you. Thank you. Then you call your friends. I show them. I give them. I serve them. You know me now. I serve them. He collect. Now, devil, you serve. Not be God, you serve. If you can't say amen, say out. Amen. Don't worry. I don't expect a lot of shouting in this message. I came with enough shout in my spirit. You're badly behaved. That's your family member. That's blood washed. That's your, the same family of God. Just help. Oh, I saw you. Okay, well, how can I help? How are you doing? Hi, my name. I'm not saying you guys have to be 5 and 6. Just greet and be. No. You're like, your face like Mount Zion that cannot be moved, but abided forever. See me, I just mind my business. I don't talk to anybody. I just mind my business. You have insecurities. You have trauma. Something they worry you. If you're angry, that's the door you can leave. Something is wrong with you. Something is seriously wrong with you. That Pastor Flores, every time you can leave. I don't really like him. I don't want to be. I don't think I can be my pastor. I don't want to be your pastor. I don't think that Pastor Flores can be my pastor. I don't want to pastor you. Now I've told you. When you didn't come, church did not full. You just gave us space for real people to come into church. Why can't you greet? Hi. Some of you, I will greet you. Say, oh, you're Pastor Fred. Say, no, I'm Pastor Musa. What kind of talk is that? I'm not sure. I don't really like him. Do I like you too? I don't understand. Are we here to be doing like? I'm commanded to love you. I'm part of loving you is telling you the truth. Telling you the truth. Okay, if you can't say amen, say out, say out. This is the love of God. Let me show you John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1 verse 8. I think 1 John 4 verse 8, thank you. Father, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. As holy as God is, he wants to be remembered as love. As powerful as God is, he wants to be remembered as love. As special as he is, he love. That's the signature of God. Give me the next verse. I think it's verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's what love is. Love is not us loving God. Love is us receiving the love that he released on the cross of Calvary. You know the heart sign is not the love sign? Because if I say I love you now, it will be the heart sign. Heart sign cannot be the love sign. The heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The love sign is the cross sign. For God demonstrated his love towards us that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So to really say I love someone is I cross you. That means I sacrifice for you. I'm able to sacrifice for you. That's what love is. He says, take it back. Flow me. And he sent his son to be propitiation for our sins. Next verse. Let me show you verse 19. We love him because he first. No, I want to deal with this scripture today. Look at the scripture carefully. It now says, we love him because he first. So our love for God is a response to his love for us first. You understand that? Let me explain that to you properly. Because when I said it now, what you thought about is this. That's what you thought about. Our love for God is a response of the fact that he loved us first. Let's see this in TPT. Our love for others is our grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. So the way to love God back is to love your neighbor. Where you don't say God this day? Where is the God that you want to love? He's in this neighbor. Where is that neighbor? That's the neighbor. That's where God is. Where is his house? I'm going to love God back. This is the house of God. Where does he stay? This, your body is the temple of the Lord, of the Holy Ghost. So how do you love God back? Is by loving the neighbor sitting by you, because that's where God is. Nudge your neighbor, say, hi, God. Say, hello, God. Say, hello, Jesus. Say, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Say, God lives inside of you. So the day I show kindness to you, I'm showing kindness to God. The Bible says the thing you've done for the least of my brethren. Not the highest, though, the least of my brethren you have done to me. Where were you when you were naked and we did not give you clothes? Where were you when you were hungry? Jesus said, I will say to them, that which you did to the least of my brethren, you did to me. So the way to actually love God back is love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. That's where God is. Take it back. Our love for others is our grateful response to the love God first demonstrated to us. One of my friends calls me, people, why do you love like that? I say, there are many reasons why I love like that. This is one. And the problem with you is that when you love, you demand harvest from where you have loved. That's your problem. The Bible says, whatsoever you sow, you will reap. Not wherever you sow. Your problem is that because you have sowed on this brother, that's a sowback. Your baby, I send you money. My baby, come. You not post me. You not post me. This love, it's not giving. It's not balanced. It's not. Is that you are demanding harvest from places you have sown. When the Bible says, whatever you sow, you will reap. Not necessarily wherever. And the principle is, what you make happen for somebody else, God will make happen for you. So when I love you full blown. Whatever you do, say, but people, you know, they will break your heart. But the way you help your pastors, I say, shoo, if they break my heart, the Lord of the harvest, they are breaking my heart, cannot disturb my harvest. That's the mindset. Can't mess up my harvest. That's how we love. We love like our life depends on it. That's what the Bible says. We love like our life depends on it. That's how to love. Not because we're trying to get something out of it. The real love is when you are loving somebody that doesn't have the capacity to reciprocate. Because Lagos people, the one that they love, targeted love. Investment love, intentional love. As you love you, they sow seed. I just sow seeds here and there. That's not how to love. That you love the person that doesn't have the capacity to love you back. That's because that's what Jesus did. We didn't have the capacity to love him back. But he loved us so much and gave us so much of his love that we now have his love to love him back by loving one another. Because God cannot receive anything that is not God. So God gave you enough God for you to God him back, because God is love. I'm preaching. That's the truth. So tell your neighbor, it's easy to love. Because love lives inside of you. See, because love lives inside of you. One of the cardinal signs of love is what? Forgiveness. You are see the way the church all quiet as I talk. It's your ability to what? Forgive. Forgive. Your ability to what? That's one of the expressions of love. Your ability to forgive. Let me tell you, bitterness is you taking poison, expecting the person to die. You're going to die. Let me also tell you, all those people that have typhoid dreams, that guy that said church was good, what is going to end on the 25th of that's high malaria. That's typhoid. Typhoid with a sprinkle of Kwale Igbo. That's what is wrong with him. I'm telling you the truth. People who say they went to heaven and they saw choir master, they saw one pastor in hell because they did not forgive somebody. Unforgiveness cannot take you to hell. Unforgiveness will not stop you from going to heaven. It will stop heaven from manifesting in your life here on earth. You didn't hear me. Unforgiveness will not stop you from going to heaven. It will stop heaven here on earth for you. You're not able to enjoy God. You're not able to enjoy the blessedness of salvation because you are living in unforgiveness. It's not going to stop God from blessing. God is bigger than your unforgiveness problem. He died for it already. So we forgive like Christ has forgiven us. We don't forgive to forgive. We don't forgive because we want to receive forgiveness. Say, I'm just forgiving you. It's not God to forgive me. And the Bible says, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those. You see, so if I don't forgive you, God will not forgive me. Ta, stop that rubbish. Jesus prayed that prayer under the law. It's called the Lord's Prayer. Leave it for the Lord. It's not for you. In the New Testament, we forgive because we have been forgiven. We don't forgive to get forgiveness from God. No, no, no. We forgive because you cannot adequately dispense forgiveness if you haven't accurately received forgiveness. Because you cannot give what you do not have. And let me say this. Don't wait for them to apologize before you forgive. Because we are not forgiven because we are remorseful. We are forgiven because he is merciful. So it is not our remorse, our kata, I've made you too small in my eyes, oh God, that makes God forgive us. God forgave us when we were not remorseful. So you must be ready to forgive some people. And I'm not saying bring them back to your space and you guys become bodies. No. Forgiveness doesn't mean restoration to body, to bestow. No, no, no. You must know where to keep your constituents, your comrades, and your confidant, and then your Christ men. Jesus had 70 disciples. Constituents. He had 12. Comrade. He had 3. Peter, James, and John. Confidant. Why is everybody your bestie? Bestie. Maybe because you are empty. If you can't say amen, say ouch. I came for you today. Yeah, I really came. Yeah. Why is everybody your bestie? So it doesn't mean that we have to be 5 and 6. But I have decided to forgive you and let the grace of God flow unhindered in my space. What you did to me is too small to hinder what Christ wants to do through me and do with me. Did you hear what I said? What you did to me is too small to hinder what Christ wants to do through me and do with me. I'm not going to let your madness do that to me. Don't live in unforgiveness. Ephesians 1 verse 7. The Bible says we have forgiveness according to the riches of his grace. We have it. We're not believing God for it. We have forgiveness. We're not believing God according to the riches of his grace. You know what I mean of according to the riches of his grace? According to the riches of his grace is not out of the riches of his grace. Out. I know this man's capacity. If he tells me tomorrow he's going to surprise me and then he buys me a recharge card, I'll say, sir, I was really surprised. I will tell him, sir, I was surprised. You surprised me negatively. Because that's not his capacity. But Jesus, the word of God says he's forgiving us according. So God didn't give you out of the riches of his grace. God forgave you aggressively with all that he is, all that he has, all that he can ever be. So what we call grace is called the aggressive forgiveness of God. When God is aggressively saying, I have forgiven you. That's the way we should live in aggressive. Because we stand under the waterfalls of forgiveness of sins. 1 John chapter 2 verse 12. Let me show you something. 1 John 2 verse 12. I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven because you cried. For his name's sake. So the reason you are forgiven was not because you asked God for forgiveness. It was because he's merciful. Are you saying that? Give me this in TPT. I love it. TPT says, I remind you, dear children, your sins have been permanently removed. Permanently removed. Because of the power of his name. That's what the Bible says. So you are permanently forgiven. So you constantly stand under the waterfalls of forgiveness of sins. Have you been under waterfalls and you're trying to dry yourself? You're wasting your time. Both your towel and everything that you're using be soaked. That's what the believer is. You stand under the waterfalls of forgiveness of sins. So we don't forgive because we want God to forgive us. We actually forgive because we have received forgiveness. Give me that picture of the baby and the bear. And they tell you, this is not gospel. This is not gospel. Because that's what we think Jesus is. He's holding a big one. And says, give me your own. So that I will get. God is not hiding anything from us. The real picture is God bringing his big teddy bear in front of you. And as soon as you see the big teddy bear, you are forced to leave yours and grab his. That's not gospel. That's manipulation. That's religion. God is not trying to test the child. God is trying to show the child the love of God. So in the real picture, the teddy bear will be in front and say, drop that one. And when you show the child the teddy bear, you don't even tell the child to drop that one. That's what the gospel does. You will not have to tell them, drop. You just show them. That's the gospel. That's gospel. Because to collect this one, you have to drop yours. Once you show the child this, you are not going to tell them, drop. He's just going to drop and grab. That's what Christ does. That's the response to the revelation of God's grace, not the manipulation of religion. Oh God. Okay, Colossians 1 verse 14. I'm walking today, right? Colossians 1 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood. Even what? So the believer has forgiveness of sins. There's nowhere in the New Testament canon that we are told to forgive so that he will now forgive us. No, we're already forgiven. Ephesians 4 32. Let me show you something. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake. So forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Do you have this in another translation? 32 in TPT or message. Just give it to me if you have it quickly. Oh, glory to God. Tell your neighbor, it's easy for me to forgive. It says, but instead be kind and affectionate towards one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? Yes. Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. Oh, that means forgive them in the depths of Christ's love. Give me this in the message if you have it. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive, forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. As quickly and what? Thoroughly. Don't stay in unforgiveness. Don't stay there. Don't drag the matter like small Jen Hulam. He did it. He did it in 1994. I wrote it down. Then in 2002, he did it again. So I wrote it down. It's in my journal here. So when he now did it now, Pastor, in 2024, like it's, I cannot let it go because, you know, it just brought all the trauma. Oh, no. He did not really apologize. What is the meaning of I'm sorry for if anyway I've offended you? That's a wrong way to apologize. That's a manipulative, gaslighting way to apologize. You should own it. I'm sorry if he affected you or in any way that I've offended you, I'm sorry. That is a wrong way to apologize. That's manipulation right there. Own, I'm sorry for doing this to you. Now, if anyway I've offended you, knowingly and unknowingly, in my thoughts, in my words, in my action, what I intend to do. That's what we used to do in morning prayer those days in church. Let us pray. Anyway, we will stop the move of God today with our saying, knowingly, unknowingly, in words, in deeds, in action. God, is that an apology? Commission and confusion and omission. But I'm just saying, whether or not you get that apology, you are commanded to forgive. Hey, my God, there's somebody whose heart is like stone. You have decided, I will not let it go. You are in this church. I command you in the name of Jesus. Forgive. 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 Not your neighbor. Say, it's easy for me to forgive. Say it again. Say, it's easy for me to forgive. Say, it's easy for me to forgive. Forgiveness is easy for me. Okay, hold up a minute, because I've dealt with bitterness before. I've dealt with bitterness a long time, for a long phase of my life, I was in bitterness. How many of you are struggling with bitterness and unforgiveness? I have been there before. Lift your hands, I want to talk with you. I just want to show you something. You're even in church, you're lying. Now, wow. I'm even telling you that I was there, to encourage you. 2nd service people, strong mind. Udugaga. Lift your hands. If you are here, you are dealing with unforgiveness. Don't do like this. Not this thing that by your ear. Wave it with your full chest. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Lift it. Tell me, son, lift it up. Not do like put it by your ear. They worry you. Lift it up. I'm serious. You see, the problem is God wants to heal you. The style for God. Yeah, the form for God. It's like going to meet the doctor. You have infection. You say, no, I just have catarrh. He's going to give you vitamin C. But you still have the infection. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Lift those hands. You are dealing with unforgiveness. And some of you, these hands that are lifted, you have a genuine reason to stay in that unforgiveness. You were abused. You were misused. You were, everything is there. But God is saying, what is ahead of you is bigger than what you are holding on to. And this unforgiveness is just taking space that grace wants to take in your life. So I'm saying, if you can let it go today, you will see a flood of God's grace in your direction. You didn't hear what I said. I'm saying what God wants to do through you, with you, is too big for you to keep holding on to unforgiveness. Holding on to, it's like you're holding on to to unforgiveness, and God is putting stuff in front of you, destiny, lives, but this is your unforgiveness. It is too small, inconsequential, infinitesimal, absolutely irrelevant to stay there. Put your hands on your chest, whoever you are. Father, thank you. Because after this meeting, there's grace to forgive. There's somebody who's asking for, you want closure, you want both of you to talk before you forgive. God is saying you don't need that conversation. You're here. You can wave quickly. You're looking for a conversation for the, yes, thank you, ma'am, for the thing to end. You don't need that conversation. What you're saying is that you can chop your conversation. I've decided to move. I'm going to forgive. Bring that woman to me quickly. Bring her to me quickly. And it's such a burden on forgiveness. Madam, let it go. What God has for you is bigger than this whole unforgiveness. Let it go. The stone that the builders rejected will become the chief cornerstone. The same people who have messed your name, character assassination, will literally see you in front. And when they see you in front, it's not for you to pay them. Show them. See what God has done for me now. No, that's not the purpose. It's that you are able to release grace to them. Like Joseph said, you sold me, but God sent me. Yeah. That in that point, you are able to release grace to them and move on with your life. I decree that it's easy for you in Jesus' name. I use you as a point of contact to reach people here who have been hurt badly. Took something precious away from you. And as you're here, you are sobbing, you are weeping, you are cleaning your eyes, you are like you're ashamed, you are in fear, but God is saying, it's time to forgive. I'm serious, it's time to forgive. It's time to forgive. You gotta forgive, man. You have to forgive. Let it go. Let it go. Amen. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Amen. Tell your neighbor, it's easy for me to forgive. Because I have been forgiven. Glory to God. Let's go to life. We've talked about love, life impact. Let's do this. Then we'll close. Are you getting blessed? Yes. Are you getting blessed? Yes. You're really getting blessed. Yeah. So you get yourself out of those. Yes, don't get involved in it. Let me also say this. Unforgiveness is like onions. It has many layers. So tomorrow, another layer will show up of what they did, and you remember, just trash it in the fire of God's love, and you have a good fragrance. If you chew it, your mouth will smell. Yeah. Just fry it. Let it go. Let it go. Because God wants to use your channel for something important, not all that. Let's go to life. Genesis chapter 2 verse 17. We've talked about love, life, and go to impact, and then we'll close the service. I hope you're blessed by this service. I hope this is helping you. Life. But out, see, let me show you something. Genesis chapter 2 verse 17. This is the first time you find die in scripture. Those of you who are Bible students, you understand what that means. It's called the law of first mention. The first time you see D-I-E, die in scripture. Die. But out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? The day that thou eat thereof, thou shalt what? God didn't say, I'm going to kill you. He said, you will die. So it was not God. He's saying, the day you touch this naked wire, you're going to die. He's not saying, when you do it, I'm going to kill you. So they ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And guess what happened? They died. But we did not eat of this knowledge of fruit and evil. We ate of the tree of life. And guess what? We have life. Revelation chapter 2 verse 17. Verse 2:7. He that hath an ear, can you see the scripture quickly? 1, 2, 3, go. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life. To him that overcometh shall I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. To him that overcometh we eat the tree of life. To him that overcometh we eat the tree of life. To him that overcometh we eat the tree of life. So what it takes for you to eat the tree of life is that you are an overcomer. Are you listening to me? So who is an overcomer? 1 John chapter 5 verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 2 verse 7. So unto him that believeth, I will give to eat of the tree of life. So we don't eat by chewing, we eat by believing. So the day you believed in Jesus, you ate of the tree of life. Tell a neighbor, I have life. Come on, say, I have life. Say, I have life. So the teaching of the gospel is not just all your sins are forgiven, as powerful as that is. That's not where it ends. It's your sins are forgiven and you have life. So he forgave your sins and gave you his life. Did you hear what I said? He forgave your sins and gave you. So when mercy said no, grace said yes. Oh, that's good stuff. When mercy said no to the judgment that you deserved, grace said yes to a life that you did not deserve. So God forgave you, but did not just forgive you and left you at the foyer of the courtroom, brought you into life. Romans chapter 5 verse 18 also. Put it up there. Glory to God. Romans 5, 18. I got it. Here it is in a nutshell. Just as one person did it wrong. Who is that person? And got us in all the trouble with sin and death. Another person did it right and got us out of it. But more than just getting us out of trouble, he got us into his life. Tell your neighbor, I have life. Come on, say it well. I have life. Say, I have life. Nothing dies in my hands. Nothing dies around me. I have life. I have life. The harder I fall, the higher I bounce. I don't stay on the floor for long. I have life. Say it loud. I have life. The harder I fall, the higher I bounce. I have life. People like me make it in life. I have life. It doesn't matter what comes to us or comes against us. We get back up again because I have life. Because the life of God is living inside of me. Life is a person. His name is Jesus. John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was with him in the beginning. All things were made by him. And without him was anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. This life lives inside of me. I carry life inside of me. I have life. Come on, say, I have life. Everything comes back to life. I refuse to stay in depression. I refuse to stay in frustration. I refuse to stay ashamed or afraid. I have the life of God inside of me. I cannot be caged. I cannot be stopped. I cannot be managed. My life receives full expression because the life of God lives inside of me. Look at your neighbor to your left and to your right and tell them, I have life. Say it again, I have life. Woo! Louder, say, I have life. One more time, say, I have life. Been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. So the word of God inside of you is life inside of you. It's eternal sperm living inside of you. It cannot be destroyed. It's the eternal sperm of God living inside of you. What that means, no devil in hell can cage you. No power of darkness can stop you because you have life inside of you. I don't care what killed people in your phobias, in your generation. When it comes to you, it can't touch you because there's life inside of you. Everything that is dead comes back to life. Everything that was not working is working right now. Everything that the devil took from you comes back sevenfold. For the Bible says, if a thief is caught, he's asked to pay sevenfold. Get ready for sevenfold restoration. I hear restoration with compensation, restoration with promotion, because life has come. Life is inside of you. Stop saying depressed. Stop being lily liver, chicken hearted, catty footed. Open up your mouth and declare, the life for God is flowing inside of me. You come back to life. You arise. Sit yourself in your seat if you feel depressed and say, why am I cast down, oh my soul? I will rejoice in the Lord. I have the life of God in me. I will arise and I would move in the dimensions of the Spirit, because this is my day. This is my time. I hear God say, arise and shine, for the light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen from within you. There is life inside of you. I refuse that you stay small. I refuse that you stay down. I decree that this life of God inside of you receives full expression. Get ready for a new day. Get ready for a new chapter. This is a new season. Death, your time is up. Life, your time is here. Somebody shout, I have life. One more time, scream it, I have life. Scream it again, I have life.
Sit.
All things are possible. Dead things jump back to life. I have life. Is the life of God in me? See, all things are possible. All things are possible. Dead things jump back to life. Woo.
I have life. I have life. It is the life of God.
Sing, all things are possible.
All things are possible.
Dead things jump back to life.
Dead things jump back to life.
I have life.
I have life.
It's the life.
It's the life of God in me.
All things are possible.
All things are possible.
Dead things jump back to life.
Dead things jump back to life.
Sing, I have life.
I have life.
It's the life.
It's the life of God in me.
One more time, sing.
All things are possible.
Apostle Paul, he came out of the island of Patmos, Melita. The Bible says, as they had firewood, Acts chapter 26, one viper came out of the fire and came on Apostle Paul. He didn't speak in tongues. He didn't pray. He didn't even say in the name of Jesus. He looked at the viper whilst they were expecting him to die. Some of you, wait for me. Whilst they were expecting him to die, he shook the viper back into the fire, and they waited for him to swell up and die. And when they saw that he did not die, they said, this one is a god. I prophesy that some of you, God is about to do something remarkable in your life, that it will be clear that there is a God living inside of you. It will be not by might, not by power, but this is by the Spirit of God. It will be clear that there is God living inside of you. The gods have come down. The gods are moving. The gods have come down. The gods are moving because of the flow of life that is about to show up from the inside of you. I don't know whose word this is, but here is your word again. Yes, indeed. It won't be long now. God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast. Your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, in your home, your job, your business, get ready for the manifestation of life. I feel it in my head. I feel it in my waist. I feel it down to my small little toes. I can tell God is about to do. There's a shift in this atmosphere. I smell it. I know it. That the power of God is at work right here, right now. Everything that was dead jumps back to life by the power of the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit.
I have life. It's the life of God in me.
Shout, all things are possible.
All things are possible.
Get things jump back to life.
Jump back.
It's the life of God in me. Scream it, all things are possible.
All things are possible.
I can't hear you.
Yet this jump back to life. I am alive. It's the life of God in me.
All things are possible.
It's the life of God in me.
All things are possible.
All things are possible.
Verdict of life on your life. Nothing dies around you anymore. Open your hands everywhere. Open your hands everywhere. The works of your hands are blessed. I said the works of your hands are blessed. Everything you touch, life flow. Hold your neighbor. Let's try something. I feel it. I feel it. Come on, hold your neighbor to your left and to your right. Just pray. Release life. Release life. Life has come. Say life has come. Say life, 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 life. Ah! Katapandasi Ramamamaku Elebeke Kopo Shakata Odebekati Sutakare Zitapale Kopato Kuandaya Empepe Sutakatakatakatakatea Sutakatakatakatea Rikento Naiku Rupa Paya Panta Omamondi Lekendeli Lika.
Open up your mouth.
Obama Sumababumbabu Robonindo So.
Your prayer life is back on now. Prayer life is back on now. I sense the anointing of the Holy Ghost from the crown of your head down to the soles of your feet. Life has come. Life has come. I refuse that you go home the same way you came. Life has come. Power of God. Take it right there. Receive it. Bring that forward. Woo. Two more minutes. Release. Now leave your neighbor. Put your hands on your own self. Prophesy life. I carry the life of God. Kaya! Release life. Life has come.
Life.
The life of God is in you. Life. Take it. Open up your mouth.
Sit.
Find your seat if you can. Find your seat if you can. All things are possible.
Then things jump back to us. It's working now. It's working now.
It's the life.
Life is released.
God in me.
Life is released.
All things.
Life is released. Resurrection power.
It's the life.
All things are possible. Like, can we sing without the music? One, two, three, go.
everything. Ah.
It's the life.
Shake yourself, O thou daughter of Zion. Lose yourself from the bounds that are around your neck. Your prison doors are open. All things are possible.
All things are possible.
Flow of the life and the power of God. Sit. The palace is for impact. It's not for selfie. I hear divine introduction, reintroduction. There's a new offer showing up somewhere. Opportunities, job offers, release, reintroduction. This is your day, this is your time. Over there, soak over this. There's a fountain that flows. The river of life is flowing. Get ready for your reintroduction. Your emergence is here. Life has come. You're singled out for life. Let's share the scripture. Sit. Her name is Esther. My text this morning is about a little girl called Esther, slave girl. She's finally in the palace. Your problem is that you need the palace for you to start making impact. No, you don't need the palace. You need the gate to start making impact. His name is Mordecai. He was not in the palace. He was at the gate. Was that making impact at the gate? I'm saying you may be a secretary, just the PA, the EA, the janitor, the cleaner, whatever you are. It's a good platform to make impact. You don't have to get to the seat of power to make impact. You can start making impact from where you are right now. Making impact. Esther is in the palace. And it looked like Esther had forgotten herself. I think he started taking selfie. Esther don't establish. So, selfie time. And this establishment is by God's grace. Esther is the only book that you find without God in the book of Esther. But it's the loud, unseen force of God's grace. The sakal of God. The wisdom of God. So Esther, Mordecai sent to Esther, hey, baby girl, don't forget yourself that you're at the palace now. You're a Jew and they are coming after us. Do not think because you're in the palace that your name is not in the Jews' register. They're going to take your life too. And Mordecai stripped himself of his clothes, naked, at the gate of the palace, sending a message to Esther. Esther sent her palliative, new clothes. Mordecai said, you think it's about clothes? We're talking about clothes? No. It's not what clothes can fix. Somebody has to go to the king. Esther begins to explain, because that's what I keep hearing. You don't know our industry. You don't know about this. You don't know the industry. But I know light. Turn on your... We know light. Light is known in every industry. Before, you don't know how it is here. It's different here. If you know how it works here. No, I don't need to know how it works. I just need to see light. I can't stand before my king without introduction. If I try it, I'm dead. They must have...
He said, no problem. One day Esther said, if I perish, I perish. Until you come to the end of yourself, you won't see the beginning of God. When you keep giving those excuses, those things, just manipulation. And the Bible says Esther showed up before the king. The book of Esther has no God. How do you preach Jesus on the book of Esther? Esther said, give me 3 days. 3 days is death, burial, and resurrection. But beyond 3 days, if you come before the king without being called, the penalty is death. So the king is sitting. Esther shows up before the king without being called. The penalty is dealt. Before the knife on the sword gets to Esther's neck, this king stretched his staff towards Esther. Jesus is the scepter of God that was stretched towards humanity, that gave humanity access to divinity. Or else, if we showed up before God without Jesus, we'll all be dead. That's how you preach Jesus from the book of Esther. You know the story. Esther goes to the king, and Haman is in trouble. But he said something to Esther as I close. Don't you know that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Logic Church, we are the precipice of one of the biggest move of God in our nation, in our time. Don't you think you have come to the Logic Church for such a time as this? Don't you think you even understand the gospel for such a time as this? Do you think it's easy to understand this gospel? Preach it to some people, fight. How can you say all our sins are forgiven? Why do you think you understand for such a time as this? Why are we sitting in this kingdom thinking it's just about us? But it's a generation that needs to be saved with the message of God's grace. And you're hearing conferences come, we're building the church, but all you think about is you, yourself, and yours. Get all you can, sit on the can, and shout on the can. And you become Kanayo, Kanayo. But this, we're in the precipice of one significant move of God in our time. That the gospel is beginning to have expression. Look at the church, 3 services. All kinds of people hearing the gospel. And you and I are in front of this matter of the gospel. But we are folding our hands. We are doing nothing about it. Nobody wants to take the risk. Nobody. Convenient giving will never give better effective ministry. Convenient living will never give better effective ministry. It's time for us to buckle up and say, you know what? What do we need to do? Roll up your sleeves. What do we need to give? What do we need to push in? How do we get this message out there to deliver the nations that God has entrusted into our hands? This is not just about your company and your business, and those increases will come by default. But I'm saying, have you come to this wealth? Have you come to this significance for such a time as this, just for you, yourself and yours? Don't you know you are blessed to be a blessing? And you have friends in your community who do not know about Jesus that you serve. We can do better. We need Esthers. We need people who can shout about the gospel everywhere they go to. So we're going to do this. We're going to build this. And Esther did not die. Haman died. And let me announce to somebody, everyone who seeks your downfall will keep seeing you on top. Amen. Maybe they're not here. Let me try my friends over there. Everyone who seeks your downfall, it's not because you're praying against them. We just keep seeing you on top. Amen. You know why? You are aligned with the agenda of God for your life. Esther chapter 6, is in verse 3, when the Bible says they consulted. And Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends, everything that had befallen him. Then said he, the wise men, to Zeresh, his wife, unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews. Not if Mordecai is right and you are wrong. If Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, in falling thou shalt fall. Thou shalt not prevail against him, but shalt surely fall before him. Give me this in another translation. That means if this Mordecai you are fighting is a Jew, not whether if he's right or wrong. If this person, you see, when Haman had finished telling his wife Zeresh and all his friends everything that had happened to him, his knowledgeable friends, those are diviners, who were there, and his astrologers and his wife Zeresh said, hey, If this Mordecai is in fact a Jew, your bad luck. They do press up. He never stand up. It's coming. The thunder is looking for your GPS. He said, your bad luck has only begun. You don't stand a chance against him. You are as good as ruin. So I'm saying to you, if that brother, if that person, if the logic church truly is in Christ Jesus, no weapon fashioned against us is able to prosper. Every tongue that rises up against us will not stand. Give me this in the next translation if you have. After Haman had told Zeresh his wife and all his friends everything that had happened to him, his advisors and his wife Zeresh said unto him, if Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is a Jew, you will not get the better of him. On the contrary, your downfall before him is certain, is sure, very sure. Can I prophesy to you? Do not be distracted by the attack, because surely they shall surely gather. But because the gathering is not by me, everyone that gathers against you shall fall. That, hey, what I just said is somebody's word. I'm saying there is a conspiracy. There is a gang up against your life, your ministry, God's assignment for your life. And the people who are ganging up against you are seemingly bigger than you. But God is saying to tell you they're not bigger than me. I'll say it again because I want you to hear. The conspiracy, the agenda to frustrate you, to disgrace you, to abort the purposes of God for your life is huge. They are joining hands. There's a collaboration to bring you down. God sent me to tell you, fret not yourself. It will not stand. It will not come to pass. But can I assure you, certainly they will see you on top. They'll see you on top. Certainly they'll see you on top. That's not because you're unstoppable. Certainly they'll see you on top. And I'm telling you, the conspiracy is a lot. It's against the gospel. David said, you come against me with your sword and spear. I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the armies of Israel. Who is on your side is bigger than, because I'm talking to people who want to make impact, but they're afraid of no. God is saying, don't be afraid. You and me makes an unbeatable team. They're going to see you on top. They're going to see you on top. I am going to see you on top. I prophesy, I am going to see you on top. It is from one level of recommendation to another one, to another one, to another one. I am going to see you on top. Oh my God, oh my God. Timmy, I'm going to see you on top. I'm going to see you on top, Mastercraft. I'm going to see you on top. I'm going to see your children. I'm going to see you on top. It is going to happen. I'm going to see you on top. Don't be concerned, oh, this is against me. This is not against me. No, God is saying, leave those ones. They are certainly going to fall. You're coming to the top. You're coming to the top. Pastor, they are bigger than me, but they're not bigger than your God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't care the forces of darkness from your household. They are not going to stand. I said they are not going to stand. Because the champion is standing inside of you. And you can't go down. I said you can't go down. You break through. You are a line crosser. You are a barrier breaker. Your case is different. God, I feel like ministering to some. Let me see the time. It's 12:30. I gotta go. I feel like ministering, but third service has to start now. But it's not going to stand. It's not going to stand. It's not going to stand. Fret not. Fret not. It's not going to stand. For he that is with you is greater than them that are against you. They will testify, she's small, but she has a mighty God. Because you carry the kabod and the presence of Elohim. I'm speaking to Esther's who want to make impact. I'm speaking to Joseph's who want to make impact. I can understand that if you don't want to make impact, this is not your word. But God is saying to tell you, I have gone ahead of you. Do not be afraid of their faces. Do not be afraid of their faces. I've gone ahead of you. I've gone ahead of you. Do not be afraid of their faces. Stop it. Listen to me. Get out of here.
Get ready to make impact.
Oh, I see David's in this house. I wish I had some time and I had space. I see David's in this house. You're going to bring down that Goliath. I'm saying it is you. Goliath, you are going to bring down. I see you humiliating the Goliath in your family. It will be said you have broken all the protocols in the bloodline and your case is different. Whose word is that? It will be said you have broken all the protocols in your bloodline. Your case is different. I prophesy. If you have faith enough to receive it, get ready for a breaking forth anointing. Nothing can stop you. Anointing for impact is released on your life. An anointing for impact to be exceptional, like Esther, like David, like Joseph, like Mordecai, like Deborah, is released on you right now. In the name of Jesus, go and make impact. You are a line crosser. You are a barrier breaker. Nothing can stop you. Lift your hands up. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's close. I'm done. Time. One day we'll go back to one service. One day. Maybe two services, but this third service thing, there's a lot. But we have to close. Lift your hands everywhere. Stand on your feet. Let's give to the Lord. Give to the Lord. All things are possible. All things.